Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Hope to sweep the sun with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Saturday, March the 14th, Sunday, March the 15th. It is a great joy to be on these great radio stations. Now, pretty soon, Lord willing, I'll be announcing a new station we're going to be taking on, and hopefully more than that, amen, with our Reaching America with the Gospel Project. And we're doing this by asking 1,000 people in the listening area if you could give $10 a month for the next year, or you just make a $120 check or a gift to our ministry for the next year, and it would help us. Amen. We'll take them on a year at a time, and we'll see what the Lord does. And each year, we'll just evaluate, and then where we need to cut, we'll cut, and where we need to keep, we'll keep. We're going to get the chance to go out west, maybe into California, New Mexico, Arizona, Nebraska, and maybe in the Northeast. There's some possibilities there around Philadelphia and place. So you pray, and I don't know which ones will be exactly first or what, but you pray about these, amen, that God will help us. And it looks like the door is going to be open. Now, you know, I just pray that the Lord will keep the door open where we can do this, all right? And I want you to pray for me in this day and hour that I be diligent about the money that is coming in here. Now, if we don't get if we get a little amount of money, we'll go on one station. If we get a lot of money, we'll get to go on more than one station. I'd love to expand. So we're asking 1,000 people to give a one-time gift of $10 per month or $120 for the year. Now, we're asking you to make that check to GBI. We'll send you a tax-exempt receipt right back in the mail. Also, let me give you the mailing address. GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. Now, you don't have to write a big, long letter when you send that to us. If you don't want to, if you want to write a letter, it'd be welcome. We love your letters. We had one person that came in the mailbox just the other day. They just sent the check in, never said a word about it. But however you want to do it. Now, if you want to give on the card, they can set that up where they can take it out every month. And you can call our office, 336-356-1560. That's Monday through Friday, Eastern Time, 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. Or you can give online at gbiradio.org. Now, God laid this on my heart a year and a half ago. Now, folk, we need to be reaching America with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somebody has said, well, preacher said America has got gospel hardened. Let me tell you, God still got his preachers here. God's still wanting us to preach, and this is our day. And we're to be faithful in our day. We're to do what we can in our day to preach the Word of God. The gospel to the lost, the word to the saved. Amen. And so you pray for me as you will. Amen. I tell you one thing that'll change America is people getting saved by the grace of God. People getting born again. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I know there's many quacks and false teachers on the radio, and they're talking about reaping and sowing and all this garbage. But I want to say something. If you really want to sow some seed, spiritually seed, then I trust you'll get involved with this project, because this is something that you sitting at home can be a part of reaching people in different states, and I hope you'll do that for the glory of God. Now, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, bless the message of the Word of God today. Bless everyone in need. Bless everyone that needs a touch from you. Have your will your way in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to remind you this coming Tuesday evening now at 7 o'clock, I will be in the Heaven Bound Baptist Church, North Wilkesboro, North Carolina, Preacher Brother Jimmy Settle. I'm looking forward to being there, Brother Settle. What a great man of God. I thank God for him. We've been friends for many years. All right, now we're going to another message today on the life of David, message number 37, Saul Seeks to Kill David. Let's go to the message. Now we come to our 37th message in the life of David. We're looking in we're looking in 1 Samuel chapter number 19. 1 Samuel chapter number 19 for the message of the Word of God today. Father, will you take the message and use it now for your glory? And I confess every sin. Help us, Lord, today to deliver what you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of today's message is this, Saul Seeks to Kill David. Now, David has killed Goliath, And David is a hero in Israel now. But yet, you remember that the women of the land sang the song, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And that upset Saul. And from that day, Saul began to be jealous of David. Now in 1 Samuel chapter number 19, if you have your Bible, you'd like to follow along with us, we pick up at verse number 1. And the Bible says this, And Saul spake to Jonathan his son, and to all his servants, that they should kill David. Now Saul's just gotten so backslid, so far out of it, that he said, Hey, you know what? I want y'all to kill David. Now, when a man gets like that, and by the way, you can be born again, you can be saved, and do things outside the will of God. Somebody said, well, if you're saved, you won't do this or that. Well, that you need to study the Bible. That's just not true. Let me say this to you, that God will chasten you, and you know that. God will chasten you if you do wrong. But how you behave on the journey does not depend on whether you get there. Now, a man gave an illustration the other day. I was riding down the road listening to a message, and I thought it was a pretty good illustration. A man gave an illustration. He said he was flying on an airplane. And he was talking to this woman about the Lord, and she had questions, and he gave her an illustration like this. He said, I'm trusting the pilot to get me from this place to that place. He said, now suppose I took a knife out, and suppose I cut this seat in front of me up. I just started cutting it, whacking it in wax. And the stewardess come by and said, sir, what are you doing? And he said, I'm cutting this seat up, just cutting it up. And he said to the woman, he said, would that change my destiny? And she said, well, no, you'd still land at the same place. And what his illustration is this, what I do on the journey does not depend on whether I go to heaven or not. All right, now I know that goes against a lot of theology that's out there, but, and by the way, again, I'm not telling people you can go out and live any way you want to live. I say this, God will chasten you. But there comes a time, and there was a time in Saul's life, that I believe God just got through with Saul. I think he just gave him up. I think Saul was a saved man, but I think God just gave him up. Now, we see that in Matthew chapter number 15 and verse number 19, the Bible said, For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. Now, where does it all start? It starts in the heart. Saul had a heart problem. Now, you see, when people get backslid on the Lord, and when people choose not to live the right kind of life, it starts in the heart. Now, we as preachers have been guilty over the years. And by the way, I believe in standards. I believe in dress standards. I believe people ought to look right, dress right if you're saved. Amen. And I believe you ought to do right. But I'll tell you where it all starts is your heart. My friend, you can wear the right kind of clothes and say the right kind of words and go to the right kind of church. And in your heart, you can still be wicked as the devil. And Saul's problem was his heart got turned away from God. Two times, the prophet Samuel had told Saul what to do. The first time at Gilgal to wait for him, and Saul chose not to wait. And so he disobeyed the Lord. The next time, we already covered this, the Amalekites, God said, I want you to destroy them. Saul didn't do that. And God rent the kingdom from Saul, and now he's getting ready to give it to David. But there's a process here, and in the process, David is going to have to flee for his life. Now, if Saul knew the law, and surely he did know the law, the Bible said in Exodus 20:13, Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not kill. But here in verse number 1 of 1 Samuel 19, he has ordered his servants and his son to kill David. Well, what kind of man is that? All right, now let's look at verse number 2. The Bible said, But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted in David. The Bible said, And Jonathan told David, saying, Saul, my father, seeketh to kill thee. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take heed to thyself until the morning, and abide in a secret place, and hide thyself. Now, God's always got protection for the child of God. Now, Jonathan knew that David was to be king. Jonathan knew the kingdom was not his. He was a spiritual man. We've covered that. And he knew the kingdom was to be David's. And so he went and told David. He told David what was going on and how Saul sought to kill him. And so we thank God for people that obey the Lord to have a spiritual mind. Amen. And that's why David could write this later in life. He wrote this right here in Psalm let's see here. Well, I'm missing something. Amen. He wrote this Psalm 34:7. Okay, the angel of the Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Anytime you see that phrase in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, that pertains to Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now, David wrote that later in the 34th Psalm. Now, the reason David could write that is because here God provided protection for David. God allowed Jonathan to tell David what Saul was planning. And so God always protects his people. If you're walking close to the Lord and you're living the right kind of life, God will protect you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. Now the word fear is the key to that verse. You see, we're living in an hour and a day when men don't fear the Lord. And we're even taught in our churches now, well, you don't have to be afraid of God. You know, let me tell you something. You better be afraid of God. And you better fear the Lord, because God is to be feared. Amen. He's the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. And God's not some little puppet somewhere sitting on a throne, you see. God's not this charismatical figure that we have in this day and time that social media portrays. You know, they want to use this word awesome. He's an awesome God. Yes, he is an awesome God. But he's not the God that some of you worship. Amen. He's not the God of my name is Jimmy and I'll take all you can give me and I can get anything I want from God and have anything. He's not. God don't raise spoiled children. Amen. Amen. You better remember that. God don't raise spoiled children. So now, let's go on, and I want to show you some more things here. Now, let's look at verse number 3, 1 Samuel chapter 19, verse number 3. And I will go out and stand before my father in the field where thou art, and I will commune with my father of thee, and what I see, that I will tell thee. Now, in other words, David's going to go out there, and Jonathan's going to go out there and commune with Saul, and he's going to kind of figure out what kind of spirit Saul's really in, and he's going to relay the message back to David. Now, verse number 4, the Bible says, and Jonathan spake good of David. How about that? Jonathan spake good of David. Now, I want to ask you a question. The Lord dealt with me when I studied this, and this hits me and you and everybody else. Do we speak good of people? You know, many times we say things we shouldn't say, don't we? Even as born again, Bible believing, blood washed, good Christians that dress right, look right, talk right. But many times we get a little bit mixed up and we say things we shouldn't say about our brother. You know what? But we ought to try to speak good of everybody if we can. I'm reminded of a story I heard many years ago. I heard a man tell this story. He said there was a man in the community who always spoke good of everybody. And he said the wickedest, meanest man in the town died. And that man came around to visit him at the funeral home that always spoke good of everybody. And people watched him. They wanted to see what he's going to say about this man, because there wasn't nothing good you could say about that fella. And he walked up to the casket and he looked at him, and somebody asked him, said, well, what are you going to say good about that guy? And the man he stopped for a minute and he thought, and he said, well, he sure could whistle good. Now, sometimes you may have to stop and think a minute, but I believe you can find something good to say about people. Amen. And maybe if you can't find anything good to say, just don't say anything at all. But Jonathan talked good of David. And look at verse 4, 1 Samuel 19, 4. And Jonathan spake good of David unto Saul his father, and said unto him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hath not sinned against thee, and because his works have been to theeward very good. The Bible said in verse number 5, for he did put his life in his hand and slew the Philistine. And the Lord wrought a great salvation for all Israel. Thou sawest it and didst rejoice. Wherefore then wilt thou sin against innocent blood to slay David without a cause? Verse number 6 says, and Saul hearkened unto the voice of Jonathan. And Saul swear, as the Lord liveth, he shall not die, he shall not be slain. All right, now, but let me say this to you. So Jonathan turned at that time the wrath of Saul away from David. All right, he turned it away, just temporarily, though. He turned it away. And sometimes, by speaking a good word or speaking things, you can change things. You know, it don't always have to be rough and to the point. The Bible talked about words being as piercing as a sword. Now, I want to stop and say this right here. I believe there is a time a preacher ought to just put it down like it is. And I believe there's still a time for old-time preaching. I was thinking about this morning. Truth is not always easy. You know, in the book of Isaiah, they said to prophesy to us smooth things. Well, we're living in that generation now where people want to hear smooth preaching. You know, they don't want to hear hard preaching. They want to hear old-time preaching like we used to preach. They want smooth stuff. They want to be told how good they are. But there is a time. But there's also a time that you could do much good by an easy, the Bible said, a soft answer. You know, I believe breaketh the bones. Maybe not word for word there, but a soft answer. Amen. Sometimes you don't need to be rough all the time in your speech. I know some people are just hateful. I mean, you know, and there are some preachers that they preach hateful. And so one fellow said this. He said, many preachers cannot expound the Word of God. Therefore, they pound the Word of God. Well, I believe what I do. And here, Jonathan just talked to Saul. And, you know, that might help your marriage. You know, husbands and wives, you got things you can't talk about. You end up getting in an argument. Well, you know, that's pride when you get in an argument. But, you know, maybe you just need to talk to each other. Have you ever tried just sitting down and talk? You can't talk to that woman. You might be surprised if you talk to her nice. Well, you can't talk to that man. Well, you might be surprised if you talk to him nice. Young people, you got a problem at home. Maybe you ought to sit down and talk to your mom and daddy. You say, preacher, I can't talk to him. Maybe you ought to try. Mom and daddy, have you ever tried talking to your children instead of yelling at them and throwing things at them and tell them how sorry they are and how bad they are? You ever tried just sitting down and talking to them? Now listen, friends, sometimes talking goes a long way. Amen. There was a man and his wife. This true story. I wouldn't call the man's name on the radio, but there was a man and his wife. They were of prominence, and the nation knows them. And they separated. Some things happened in their life. They separated. And one day, something happened, and they rode together to a certain place, about 6-7 hour drive, and they began talking on the way where they were going. They began talking. And they realized that they had given up on their marriage for naught. I mean, they realized, and they got back together. Amen. They'd never divorced. They just separated, and they got back together. They got talking about that thing and worked out. And I'm going to tell you something. Sometimes talking will change things. Amen. So here, talking about now, I'm going to say this. Saul was not really repentant. I'll tell you why. Because he was at it again. It didn't take him long till he was at it again. Now, let me just say this. In 2 Corinthians 7:10 says, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. It says this, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world worketh death. I just want to say that if you're not truly repentant in anything, it won't ever work. Do you know that? Do you know there are people that go down to the altar and they repent just to get their wife back or their husband back or to get a better situation? There are ladies that go down, women go down, and they repent just to get their husband back, just to get their home back. Now, I'll tell you, God's not in that. And brother, the sorrow of this world worketh death. Some folk are sorry they got caught. You know that? They're not really sorry for what they did. I want to say this. If you're truly sorry before God for what you did, you'll have no problem confessing your sin no matter what it costs you. No matter what it costs you. You see, there are some people, they won't get, you know, they may not get right with the Lord because they're afraid of the cost, you see. One fellow said one time in a church, I heard a preacher tell this, he said, I've got saved, and said, there might be some people going to jail for what I've done. I'm going to have to confess. But when you get saved and when you get right with God, and even as a born-again believer, when you get caught up in sin, I believe this. I believe God. And David signed his own death warrant later in 2 Samuel when he committed adultery with Bathsheba. And I believe God would have killed David had David not have had a repentant heart. If David had had the sorrow of this world, if David had had what I call social media religion, amen. Some of you think I'm really down on that, but I tell you, it's ruining our churches, amen. And if David had that, I think God would have killed him. I really do. But David was repentant, and God saw that. And of course, Nathan the prophet, he told him, he said, you know, his sin was pardoned. Now, let's go on and let's look farther. Now it didn't take Saul long, and Jonathan talked him out of it, but it didn't take him long to get right back at it. Verse 7 of 1 Samuel chapter number 19. And Jonathan called David, and Jonathan shewed David all those things. And Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. Now, all right, he brings him back. All right, everything's going good. He brings him back. All right, now, let's notice verse number 8. All right, let's notice verse number 8. The Bible said, and there was war again, and David went out and fought with the Philistines, and slew them with a great slaughter, and they fled from before him. Now David was a warrior, and Saul had him there, and Saul had demoted him to just a captain over his thousand, but David went out there and did a great job. By the way, David was really doing Saul's job for him. Saul had a bad habit of sitting under a tree. If you study the life of Saul, he'd sit under a tree with a sword in his hand or a javelin. I mean, boy, that's really winning the war, ain't it? But you know what? David was really, God was preparing him. God was moving him right into the throne of Israel. Saul, in a sense, was sitting back and David was doing his job. You remember 1 Samuel 8 and verse number 20. I want to read this verse to you. This is what the people said when they wanted a king. The Bible said that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Boy, I tell you what. Now, when they picked Saul, he was head and shoulders above everybody else. He was probably the most handsome guy in Israel. He was a man's man. He was a big, tall fella. But let me tell you one, it didn't take long for Saul to get out of the will of God. And I don't care how many characteristics you've got, when you get out of the will of God, you turn into an awful person. And I'll tell you why. The most miserable person in the world is a person that is backslid or out of the will of God. You see, if you're 100% in the will of God, you're enjoying life. You're going on, you're enjoying, amen, you're enjoying life. Now, if you're 100% out in sin, you've never been saved, you're enjoying life. There's pleasure in sin for a season. The Bible tells us that. But if you're half in, half out, in other words, if you've got one foot in the world and one foot in the church, then you're the most miserable person that they are. My daddy lived one of the most miserable lives you ever seen anybody live. Why? Because he said God called him preacher. He ran all his life from that. Well, he didn't do it, so he was miserable. So Saul's a miserable man here. But now, the Philistines, God gave a great victory here. David killed a lot of them. Now, I want to say this. The victory did not last long. Now, you better be careful. And I know there's always some backslid Baptist around to remind us when things are going good, you better be careful. The devil's on the way. I understand that. But you had better be careful, amen, because be warned. After a great victory, the devil is always there, all right? I mean, the devil is always there to discourage the preacher, discourage the people, to discourage the church. I mean, the devil is always around, and when the victory is on, then the devil's there. And the Bible tells us to beware of the devil. There's a balance there, amen? I mean, we got to let us enjoy the victory, amen? We need to enjoy when victories come. We need to enjoy them, but we also need to be wise. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." I mean, the devil is still there. And so the devil was still at work here in Saul's life. Now, the devil could not possess Saul because Saul was a saved man, but the devil was at work oppressing him. And so the devil never stopped. The devil did not want David to be king. And again, I repeat this to you. David's the eighth son of Jesse. Ruth, the eighth book in the Bible. David's the first mentioned in the book of Ruth. David was revival to the land of Israel. David was going to be the man that God was going to use to turn this heathen nation around that had walked away from God. They were God's people. They weren't really a heathen nation, but they were doing the ways of the heathen. All right, we might say. Now, let's notice number 6. Let's notice 1 Samuel 19:9. All right, the Bible says, now here we go. "And the evil spirit from the Lord was upon Saul as he sat in his house with his javelin in his hand, and David played with his harp." Now here we go. Now Saul is sitting in the house, and notice when this evil spirit comes on Saul, he just goes crazy, I think. And I think he gets hard to deal with. Now a javelin was a wooden shaft with a piece of steel point on the end of it. And he had already thrown this thing at David one time. Now here's David sitting there. He's going to play. No doubt Saul gets on one of them spells and they call David in there. And David goes in there and starts playing for him. Now, no doubt David is wise. David is vigilant because, Saul has already seeked to kill him. And so he's already thrown this thing at him. So now, we go back in the back of David's mind. He probably remembered 1 Samuel 18:11. The Bible said, "And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it." And David, the Bible said, avoided out of his presence twice. And that had happened before. And so we see that had happened a long time before, and now it's happening again. David is playing. Saul has got the evil spirit. All right. But you know what? I wrote this little outline down. I want to give it to you. It's called "In the Same Room with a Javelin." Now, how would you like to be in the same room with a javelin? Amen. A man with a javelin in his hand. But there were some things about that. First of all, notice the place. It was assigned by God. Now, listen. Now, David could have said, when they came to him and said, "David, Saul's on one of these spells again, and we need you to go play for him." David could have said, "No deal. No, sir, I'm not going in there. Why, two times before he tried to kill me. I'm not going in there. No, sir, you go in there." But David didn't say that. Now, I want to say this. You're safe in the place that God put you if God's put you in that place. There might be some of you women, you're struggling with going to you with your husband to the mission field. And you say, "Boy, that wouldn't be a safe place for my kids." I'm going to tell you, if God has called your family to the mission field, your kids will be safer on the mission field than they would be out in rural America. And I'll say this to you. Chicago, Illinois is a mean city. Now, if you're listening to me from Chicago, and I've gotten a letter from Chicago, if you're listening to Chicago, I'm not down on your city. It's just you know that there's a lot of crime in Chicago. But I'd be safer, listen to me, in the will of God on the worst street in Chicago than I would out in rural America on a 40-acre farm. Amen. Brother, you're only safe when you're doing the will of God. David was in the right place. Now, you think about that. He's in the same room with a javelin, but he was in the right place. Then, and I want you to notice this, too. Notice the person. Amen. David never complained. David never complained. David never said, "This ain't fair." David never said, "Hey, Saul tried to kill me." He never complained. You know what? We ought to go through life and not complain about our situation. I'm bad about it. And you're bad about it. We're bad. We're all bad to tell people how hard we've had it. I've done it. You've done it. Everybody's done it. But you know, really, that's not the way we ought to do it. Amen? We shouldn't be telling people how hard we have it. We ought to be telling people how good Jesus is. Amen? Then, I want you to notice this, not only the place and the person, but then I want you to notice the protection. God delivered David every time. God delivered, and David knew that. David knew God was going to deliver him, and that's why David again could write Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him." All right, now, I want you to notice, though, number four, the plan. You see, there was a purpose in this. Now, sometimes we don't understand why God puts us through things. Now, David, in the back of his mind, probably thought, "Well, what in the world am I doing here with the man in the javelin in his hand? He's going to kill me one of these days." That's the old flesh speaking. But the spiritual part of David remembered 1 Samuel 16, when Samuel came and the Holy Ghost said, "Arise, anoint him, this is he." And Samuel arose and anointed David in the presence of his brethren to be king over Israel. Now listen, the psalmist said later in Psalm 92, "I shall be anointed with fresh oil." David remembered that anointing of God. Now there was a plan. This whole plan was to get David to be king of Israel. Really, the life of David probably ought to be divided into the early years of David and the latter years of David. Really, that's probably what ought to be. We're in the early years of David, and we're seeing David as a young man. We're seeing God's plan unfold. And I want to say this. Sometimes God's plan takes time. Sometimes God don't reveal his plan all in a day. Now, we're in a hurry-up society. We're in a do-something age. We got to do it. We got to do something. Do something. Do something. Well, you need to go back and study Martha and Mary. And Martha was busy, 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 but she didn't really get anything done. And Mary sat at his feet and heard his word. And Jesus said she had chosen that good part. Now, again, I'm not promoting laziness when I'm talking about waiting on the Lord. I'm not promoting that you be lazy, all right? But I am saying this to you. There's a time to slow down. And there's a time to seek God. And there's a time to get acquainted with God. God wants you to get acquainted with him on this earth. God don't want you, listen, you can't win the whole. Friend, we come to the end of our radio broadcast for this Saturday, March 14, Sunday, March the 15th. I hope that this broadcast has been a real blessing to you. Write us when you can. Pray for us every day if you would, please. And may the Lord bless you. And thank you again for listening to our radio broadcast. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina, 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.